You're listening to Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye, live from Torquay on 94.7 The Pulse.
And it's a very good morning to both Terry and Zita, who are here from the Torquay Theatre. How are you both this morning?
Really fine. Thanks. Fine, thank you.
Thanks so much for being here at Cafe Cobo for our outside broadcast. And sometimes people get a little bit nervous when it comes to talking on radio, but I'm sure you two guys won't be nervous because you are performers, aren't you?
Yes.
Well, I'm the director. Yes. I'm the director. She's the performer.
Yeah. When you're performing, is it like being in a radio interview, or do you think, like, in terms of nerves and that sort of thing, that it's a different experience?
There are definitely nerves, different nerves in each experience. I sometimes feel right before I go on that I can't. I'm going to absolutely have to run away. And then you go on and everything's fine. And in radio, it's not quite the same thing. You just wonder how you're really sounding.
Sometimes if I have to get up and speak publicly, you do get a bit nervous, and I find that nerves sort of help you to focus the mind, and, you know, that bit of adrenaline rush, I mean, there's nothing quite like it. Do you think that that helps you have a better performance?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. And what about you as the director? Do you find that nerves come into your role, I suppose, hoping that everything is going to go all right with each performance?
Yeah, I always get a bit... I think it's more anticipation and excitement than nerves, yeah, per se. But I kind of feel it in my stomach, and I think, oh, you know, here we go. And I find it very exciting.
There's nothing quite like live theatre, is there?
No.
So what are you guys working on at the moment? What's the performance?
We're working on The Laramie Project by Moises Kaufman. It's a story of... It's on non-real life. It's interviews with real people, and it's been edited down into a play. So it's, it kind of falls into the category of a docudrama or verbatim theatre. So we're using actual people, their words, their actual words.
And the actors are obviously taking on that persona, are they?
This is a real challenge for the actors because they actually take on the personas of... 6 or 7 different characters, some of them. So it's quite a challenge. They have to alter their physicality, alter their voices a little to try and put this different character across to the audience. And then later on that same character will reappear, but they'll have been playing somebody else, so they have to go back to it as well. So,
and is it immediately discernible to the audience that, like, it's the same person, but they've taken on this different persona? Like, what sorts of cues?
That's an interesting question, yes, actually, because I suppose it's individual. I think it depends on how much you sort of delve into the play, or whether you keep that slight objectivity, in which case you look at this one actor and you think, oh, now they're playing that person, or whether you actually go with that character they're playing.
In some instances, too, Moises has put in a narrator, and that narrator will introduce a character, and then if you see the person in that particular scarf or vest or something, then hopefully you realize that that person is playing that character again later on.
And what made you decide to take on this particular project? Because it sounds like it's quite an intense one, from what I've heard about it.
It is. It's very intense. It's very challenging. And I think I'm always reading plays. I love directing, so I'm always looking for something. And when I read The Laramie Project, I just had to do it. It was just one of those things that got me excited, got me a bit scared, got me a bit challenged. And all of that is very exciting, I think, for a director, to feel that challenge and that interest.
And Terry, from the perspective of being an actor or actress, depending on which politically correct word we'd like to use, I don't mind. Can you tell us about, you know, what your thoughts were in terms of taking on this project? Were there any reservations, or were you on board straight away?
I was on board straight away. I thought it was really a powerful piece. I thought it was something challenging for Torquay Theatre Troupe, and you always want to do something new, different, challenging. You always want your audiences to really like it, and so I must admit that I was thinking about that. Because it is so challenging, but I really do think that they're going to really get involved in the play, and that's also what you want the audience to do, to really get involved in it.
Yeah, because that's why people go to theatre, I suppose. They leave the outside world behind, but sometimes I suppose they don't just want to be entertained. They want that escapism, but they want to be challenged, I suppose, and to think.
Yes, and this play will definitely provide that for them. And the thing is... you can really think, there's going to be something in this play that everyone in the audience will have thought at one time. And it forces you to really look at what you are thinking about, well, let's just say current issues for this.
Well, I think also it'll challenge some prejudices that we may have that we're not even aware of, possibly. And, you know, this play is not just about a gay death or a gay bashing or whatever, or a murder. It is about society's reaction to these things and our individual thoughts and feelings. And
These issues, as we've sort of alluded to, are not for the faint-hearted. Like, people are going to go there and they're going to be confronted and challenged from the sound of things. So what sort of person do you envisage will be there in the audience? You know, who's that target market, I suppose?
We hope all our usual patrons.
Look, I don't know that there's a specific target market. I mean, I suppose it depends on one's ability to be flexible and to hear what's being said, and I'm hoping that it will people will go away thinking about some of these issues that have been raised, because it's not, there are other prejudices that come through in the play. And Mitch, believe it or not, there are humorous moments in this play as well.
Oh,
so I don't want the audience to think, oh my god, you know, sounds like a total downer. It's not. It's very interesting. The people themselves, the characters themselves are quite, you know, fascinating. So,
yeah. I mean, not that necessarily you have to have humorous moments. I've read pieces where we've said this is unapologetically confronting. We're doing this because too many people want to go to these things to be entertained. We want to change minds, and people find that interesting. People, I think, like to be challenged. It's an intellectual pursuit, isn't it?
It's certainly an aspect of theatre that I enjoy. I've directed many things. I've directed, you know, light-hearted comedies, which I enjoy along with everybody else. But I do love theatre that makes us feel something. I don't care if people come to this play and hate it, or, you know, I mean, I prefer them to really love it.
Yeah.
But as long as they're touched in some way or moved emotionally in some way is what I really enjoy when I'm directing.
I'm the same when people listen to this station and they have negative comments. At least they're interesting and they're thinking and they're listening. So
exactly.
That's fine by me. Let's have a discussion, you know.
Yes.
But the other thing, too, is that even as actors, and even though we, of course, being involved in this play, have heard it over and over and over, it's amazing how emotional we can get listening to some of the speeches and some of the other actors. Even though we have heard it so many times, we still get emotional at certain pieces.
So what was it like for you, you know, going through that script or the synopsis for the very first time and hearing some of these stories? I mean, were you familiar with these events beforehand?
Surprisingly not. I think I should have been, but I wasn't. From the very first moment, because the way that it worked, Zena really wanted to present this play. The committee read the play out loud, and from that moment, I thought, this is a powerful piece. We really should do it.
But you weren't alone, were you? Remember that reading?
Oh, I know.
After the reading, we'd finished, and we all took different parts and read it properly. But then the conversation went on for a good hour and a half afterwards. We were all up. We were all energized. So we knew that this was a play that deserved to be done, and the audience deserved to see it. They really do.
And Terry, can you give us an insight into the parts that you're playing without giving too much away?
Oh, I can talk about all of the parts without giving anything away, really.
That's good to know.
All right.
Sometimes we get people and they're very protective. No, we can't tell you that. You have to come.
Oh, no.
We're erring on the side of caution.
The narrator for a lot of it, and therefore I can use my regular, ordinary, old American voice.
And you've got a very good speaking voice, I have to say.
She does.
I'm also a rancher, a female, youngish female rancher. I have a few lines. I'm a Baptist minister. I'm a Catholic priest. I'm also a woman who is a mother of her daughter is very close to the situation because she's a policewoman. So
you're
there's a totally
different.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Well, I can handle that one. I'm trying to think. I think that pretty much, you know, covers the main roles.
What's your background in theatre? You know, are these similar to roles that you've taken on in the past, or is it something completely new for you?
For me personally, every role is new and a challenge because the play is different. How you want to present yourself, what the character is, I've been with Torquay Theatre Troupe almost since inception, and I've done a variety of
And how long
plays.
Has that been?
Oh, 15 years maybe.
Fantastic.
Something like that.
Yep.
And we've done a little bit of everything. And I have my favorite roles. I loved being in Arsenic and Old Lace. I was one of the aunties. That's, you know, a fun comic role. But I also loved being grandmother and grandma in The American Dream, which is absurdist theater. So everything is a challenge, and everything is exciting to do for me.
I want to ask you both, why do you do what you do? Why are you so passionate about theater? What do you personally get out of it?
Oh, I know, it is
really a difficult question.
There's
isn't
no
it?
Shortage of difficult questions on this program.
No, there doesn't seem to be. Look, theatre is there's all the different aspects, I think, of theatre. You know, community theatre in particular, there's a lot of camaraderie and there's a lot of creativity and there's, you know, it's all of those things, I think. And it's, oh, that's such a difficult question, I can't think.
And sometimes I go through stages where I really love the learning process of working with a director and how that director wants you to do and assist you and also wants feedback from you about the role and how the interaction occurs on stage. So I love that learning. And there have been times when I sometimes think I like the learning process and because I get so scared right before I go on. So there's that. What else? I love watching theater. I've been going lately and seeing National Theater Live, and I just am mesmerized by good theater. It's just exciting.
I guess that's what we attain to, isn't it? Mm. We work. I think for me, the one. There is every now and then when you do live theater, you get that one night when everything goes beautifully on stage. The audience are totally with you. There's some kind of magic that occurs between the whole thing, and it's the most exhilarating feeling when you get those nights, but you don't get them very often.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that draws you back again and again, just to aim for that
a
moment.
A bit addictive in a way.
Oh yes.
But I think what you're alluding to there is interesting, in that you're requiring, I suppose, a lot of moving parts to come together. You know, you've got to have all the actors and the performers. They've got to be on song from a technical perspective, obviously.
Yeah.
A bit like us, you're relying on everything to work. And obviously, like, from your perspective as director, you've got to, you know, make sure that the directions are clear, and the audience, you know, how receptive are they going to be to what's going on? So I suppose when all those moving parts come together, it's a really good thing. A bit like doing a live radio show, I suppose.
Well, that's interesting that you mention all those moving parts, because I started off on stage and I was very like Terry, I think a lot of actors are, you know, you stand in the wings and think, why on earth am I doing this to myself? Mm. But when it came to directing, the first time I ever directed, for me, the draw card was taking all those different aspects and pulling them all together to make one event. So there was I had to look at lighting, I had to look at costume, I had to look at blocking, you know, how people are going to move on stage and how the whole thing works together. And for me, I love that aspect of it. I love pulling all those things together and producing a whole, if I can.
Yeah. And what's that change for you been like, from being a performer to being a director? You know, how do you find that transition in roles? And I guess, what's it been like? Do you prefer one or the other, or are you happy to do both?
I haven't been on stage for quite a few years now, and the last few times I have been, I've usually melded them together with either stage management, which I do as well and I love. But when I was on stage full-time, I'd never thought about directing, and I filled an emergency situation, and that was it. I fell in love with it. I thought, oh, this is what I like to do. My husband claims it's because I'm bossy, but I don't think I'm bossy. I don't think I'm bossy. I'm just intrigued by the process, I think, you know.
Yeah, and I suppose you've got to get the balance right, because there's sometimes, I suppose, creative differences to work through to make sure it's successful. It exists everywhere, I presume.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's, for me, every play is, it's a team effort by everybody involved. Everybody is important, everybody's needed, and especially in this play, it's very much a collaborative effort. We are working together to produce the best that we can, you know. So any feedback from the stage, we always look at, may not happen, because sometimes from out front, the actors don't see it from out front, and it's quite often very different from out front and it doesn't work. But, you know, it's worth trying. Everything's worth trying.
And is community theatre something that we need to support more? Because I've got a friend that I'm going to see in community theatre with another organisation this weekend. And I thought, well, I haven't really been to a community theatre performance in quite some time. So do you think the local community can embrace you guys a bit more and say, you know, we maybe need to step outside our comfort zone a bit and be challenged and support the great work that you guys are doing?
We'd love them to step outside their comfort zones and support. We are well supported by the people that do support us.
But we'd support here is very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. We'd love to see more people coming, of course, always. We'd spread our wings in that sense. What was the rest of your question? Sorry, Mitch.
That's all right. So the preview shows on May the 15th on the screen I have in front of me starts at 8 p.m. and then you've got performances running from May the 18th and on a range of dates till the 27th with a couple of matinees as well. So plenty of time for people to go and get down and support this?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. And We have a bar. They can buy themselves a nice glass of wine. And we do nice wine. We don't believe in the, you know,
the cheap stuff. That's good. Not that you need alcohol to get through your performance, I'm sure.
No. But it's always nice to be able to go somewhere and have a little drink as well.
Absolutely.
As see some theatre.
It's
know?
A night out or an it afternoon is. Out, isn't it? And where can people get tickets?
Try booking online.
On the line.
Online. Fantastic. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming in. I hope the interview wasn't too confronting. And I really look forward to hearing about how this goes and what the reviews are, because it sounds like it's going to be an incredible piece of theatre.
Oh, and you've reminded me, I have to let you know that we are a VDL entry, Victoria Drama League, excuse me, entry.
Okay.
That's just to let people know. So this will be judged. And we'll find out eventually how we do, apart from the audience, I guess.
Right. Good luck with it. Right. Good on you guys. Oh,
thanks. Thanks so much. Really enjoyed it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Right. Thank you.
Zena and Terry there from Torquay Theatre talking about this event that they've got coming up. Really good to hear from them, and we wish them all the best. We'll go to a break now on Mitchell's Front Page. Coming up next, we'll be catching up with the Indigenous Rights Campaigner for Amnesty International for a slight change of tact, and he'll be talking about some of the issues pertaining to youth justice on 94.7 The Pulse.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.